Welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast. Frank and Patsy get together to discuss the issues of the moment. You know, the things that make you say, holy shit. Here are your hosts, Master Hapkidoist, Patsy Zarilla, and Attorney Frank Natel, Esquire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast, episode 26. Yes, Frank, 26 for August 21st, 2019. I'm your co-host, Patsy Zarilla.
And I'm Frank. I believe we're already at 26. It's been so much fun. Time is flying.
Right. That's absolutely amazing that we've made it this far. Before we get into what was really a sad day, how have you been? What you been up to?
Oh, just enjoying the beginning of the soccer season, and both in professional soccer and in youth sports. My son started his fall league, which was fun. They just started their practices, not their league games, but so busy with that. Busy with the new pup, which you know about. We got a new dog, so that always keeps you busy. Otherwise, everything's good. How about with you?
Oh, just busy. I don't have anything new going on. It's just the same old things. But boy, I tell you what, been a big bit hectic. For everybody listening, one thing I would like to do before we begin is I'd like to plug your pod, the Butchered Sports Podcast, which is part of our family of podcasts, airs tomorrow, right?
Yep. We'll be talking about La Liga, Serie A, some Bundesliga, and I'm sure we'll get a little bit of talk in about the Premier League as well. And I understand we're going to have a couple of guest speakers tomorrow. We're going to have your son Nick. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's correct. We may even have
a guest appearance from my son Dante. We'll see though.
We'll see. Hopefully he can swing it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So everybody, if you haven't listened to it or on any of your podcast apps. And it's also live up on YouTube. So you get the best of both worlds. You can either see it or hear it, or, you know, if you're really cool, you can do both. But anyhow, we figured we'd get that in for you real quick. One thing that happened in the news today, Frank, and I want to get into it is, you know, pretty much as quick as we can, because I think we're going to spend some time on this. Yesterday, our fearless leader, and for those who don't get it, if you're younger than us, fearless leader was a character in the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Yeah.
Boris and Natasha were Rocky and Bullwinkle's nemesis. They're their arch enemies, and their boss was fearless leader. So whenever you hear me talk about our beloved president as fearless leader, you understand why.
It really does.
Yeah. I thought I was either going to do that or plagiarize occupant of the White House. Fearless leader is just kind of easier for me, so that's what I'm going with. My source for this right now is CNN. Yesterday, our fearless leader criticized Jewish Americans who vote for Democrats, saying it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. He was speaking to the press in the Oval Office, which is weird because normally his cowardly acts happen on Twitter. He was talking about the two congresswomen who were banned from entering Israel a couple of days ago.
Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And his quote was, 5 years ago, the concept of even talking about this, even 3 years ago, of cutting off aid to Israel because two people who hate Israel and hate the Jewish people, I can't believe we're even having this conversation, Trump added. Where has the Democratic Party gone? Where have they gone? Where they're defending these two people over the state of Israel? He added, I think any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. Frank, this is killing me. The president of the United States is calling out, forget the fact that we're talking about two other people in Congress who, you know, in our federal government, but just two American citizens. And he's siding with a foreign country over his own people. I got to be honest, it disturbs the hell out of me. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit here about his history. But before we get into that, just on this topic that happened yesterday, what are your thoughts about this?
They mirror yours to a large extent. I think it's very dangerous territory for our president to be siding with a foreign government over our own elected officials. And he's supposed to be America first, right? So at the very least, America first by his own slogan, he's going against that. But deeper and more important than that is that we as a country, and just historically, we've talked about this before, Patsy, where, you know, you and I as friends can maybe criticize each other. You and I with our own brothers can maybe say something about our brothers, but somebody outside the family is not going to say that and get away with it. Right.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's human nature. And here's a guy who's going against our principles as a country. He's going against patriotism and he's going against human nature. And it's really, you know, I just shake my head in the idea that there are people that still try to find ways, you know, gymnastics, verbal gymnastics, mental gymnastics to find a way to get around this, you know, to justify what he's doing and saying there is no justification. There's absolutely no justification at any level. And, you know, you see more and more people that are on the national level coming out against Trump. We've talked already about, what's his name? Joe Walsh Freedom, who supported Trump in his election bid and has come out with a very strong op-ed against him and said he needs to have a challenger from the GOP side. Well, these kind of things that Trump is saying is what's bringing people from the GOP out against him. And, I you know, they're just the hardcore people that are left supporting him at this point in time. But, you know, the idea that he would ask a foreign government to oppose our own elected officials and that they would have listened to him for a period of time and done so is it's absolutely reprehensible. It's beyond the pale. It's everything that we don't stand for as a people and as human beings. You know, you stay with your own, you take care of your own. And that's one of the things, it was a message of his, but he's going against it, you know, for his own personal gain. It's we're living in really upside down times. Speaking of Israel, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, just said, tweeted or talked about or said something to the effect that Hitler did not want to eradicate all the Jews. That was not his goal. So, you know, here we've got somebody who runs the state of Israel, the country, we call it the state or the country of Israel, that was formed after World War II because they wanted to prevent the types of atrocities. You know, they wanted their own state, their own homeland, because they were scattered around the world. Mm-hmm. So they carved out this piece of land that they laid claim to from a historical and biblical perspective to protect Jewish people from things like that happened in the Holocaust as a result of Nazism and Hitler. And then the leader of this country is now saying, not this country, America, but the leader of Israel is now saying, no, that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't one of his stated goals or something he tried to do in practice. It's flabbergasting. And we live with our nutcase here, who's allies with that nutcase there. And it just, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this whole disloyalty thing. Didn't Hitler say the same thing about disloyalty in the Jews, being disloyal to Germany?
Absolutely, it's like verbatim. Yeah,
yeah. That has me concerned. And you know what has me even more concerned, Frank, is you know they say, right? You know, people who, and I'm probably paraphrasing a little bit, but if you ignore history, you're doomed to repeat it. Do you remember? And it seems like centuries ago, it really does. You know, I don't realize, I always feel like, I don't feel as old as I am, right? Because I'm always surrounded by folks who are much younger than me, whether I'm working with them or at my school or whatever, significantly younger, like half my age. But I can remember whenever Barack Obama was president, and like I said, it feels like so long ago, right? Where you had this group of Republicans who decided, I think they went to someplace in the Middle East and said, you know what, just ignore Obama. He's going to be out pretty soon and we'll take care of you or some shit like that. I forgot what it was.
Yeah. So
this whole idea of the Republican Party and the person who was the face of the Republican Party going against our country, and at the same time, while he's doing that, is holding up a flag, an American flag, and criticizing people like, you know, Colin Kaepernick, who are taking a knee because they see an injustice in our country and want to bring light to it. That hypocrisy absolutely destroys me. I mean, it breaks my soul almost.
Yeah, and that's probably what it's intended to do. You know, there's just this cognitive dissonance that has been created around all of what's going on with our politics and what's going on with our so-called leaders or elected officials. And that's, you know, first of all, we've talked about before how everybody's busy with their lives, and they count on that. And then they count on this idea that it's just hard to combat the constant barrage of mistruths, of wacky statements that are so off the wall and so out of character for what we're used to in our country, that they just keep it up so much that it becomes difficult to counter. It becomes difficult to counter in the world that we live in with crazies that support that kind of belief. It becomes difficult in the world that we live in where we have to try to fulfill our daily obligations to ourselves, our employers, our families. And they count on that. They really do. They count on this whole misinformation campaign. It's a ministry of propaganda is what it is.
He's unbelievable. And I sit here and, you know, we've always said, and we're not the only ones who've said this, we're actually repeating it, right? That the difference between Democrats and Republicans is Democrats wait to fall in love and Republicans fall in line. It gives me a little bit of hope that you're seeing folks, like what's his name that you mentioned? I'm sorry, I can't remember his name.
Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh. Yeah, I'm sorry. And Mooch and Scaramucci now. Who's also coming out against them. I mean, him and Mooch were tight. And, you know, then you had Cohen, you know, where they kind of poo-pooed that away as, you know, because the guy's going to jail, so of course he's going to turn on him, yada, 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 right? Scaramucci and Joe Walsh don't have a horse in the race other than, well, Scaramucci was you know, let's face it, he was disarmed. You know how it is with Italians, right? I don't know if you saw my Twitter post or not. They said, the only thing I'm saying is Donald Trump is damn lucky that Scaramucci's a guy and not an Italian guy and not an Italian female, because that's taking it to a whole new level, right?
Absolutely. He would never get a moment's rest.
No, boy, he would have been crucified. So he's lucky he turned on an Italian guy instead of a female.
But we'll see. We'll see how turns out.
we'll see, right? You don't know yet. There's still a lot of bridges to burn with this guy.
Yeah.
But looking back at his history, Frank, you know, in the mid 70s, there was the housing discrimination case against Trump and his old man. I think his father's name was Fred, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So there was that. The Trump Organization was sued again in the late 70s for violating terms of the 75 settlement or whatever it was that the U.S. Department of Justice had against Trump management. In 1989, and this is a couple years after we were out of high school, there was the whole Central Park 5 thing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's whenever we really started to gain notice. The same time. In the late 80s, I mean, real late 80s, like 88, 89, I want to say, he was on, I want to say, might have been the Today Show, but whoever it was, Brian Gumbel interviewed him, and he said something about a well-educated black, and I think he actually said black. He didn't say African-American or black person. He just said black, because that's about as fucking racist as you can get, right? You might as well just throw the N-word at him. Has a tremendous advantage over a well-educated white guy in terms of, or white person in terms of the job market. I mean, he's absolutely, you know, he's so way back then, you know, he's doing this shit. There was the way David Duke absolutely just to this day still embraces everything that comes out of this guy's mouth. He was he tried to get in with the Native American casino industry in the early 2000s, and he was fined for that. There was he was the big face of the birther thing with Obama. More recently, Mexican immigrants, his proposed Muslim ban. Remember that one? Way early in his presidency, he decided that if you're Muslim, you're fucking out. We don't want to hear it. New York sued him for what he said about the judge, the Hispanic judge, because you know there's no way this guy could be a fair judge in whatever lawsuit. It was the Trump University one. That's what it was. Even though this judge was a you know was born here, he talked about the Arabs in New Jersey during the 9/11 attacks, how they were people cheering in the streets, right? These Arabs, and he saw them cheering in the streets. The Somali refugees. We can go on and on and on and on. So here, I guess here's oh, the way he pardoned Joe Aparo, whatever the hell his name is. Remember Sheriff Joe? He pardoned this racist fucker. There was everything you said about Charlottesville.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
The way he continuously calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. The shithole countries. Remember that one?
Yep.
Right. I forgot which one that was. I forgot. They were just African countries, weren't they? And he said something about shithole countries. Why couldn't people come from Scandinavia or something like that?
Why don't we get more people from Norway? Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. Yeah. So here's my question for you, Frank. Is it his premeditated ignorance? And that's really what it is. That's done intentionally to further divide the country. Every day, literally every day. And I just rattled these things off, right? I mean, this was without doing much research at all. I just rattled these things off. Is it done intentionally to further divide the country every day on race, religion? He talks about minorities of fear. Or does he just feel so emboldened for reasons known only to him because he has a arrogance that's unbelievable, where he's just showing his true colors because he knows that whatever is going to get thrown back at him, he still has his party and his base?
To answer that question, I think it's a lot of both. I think it's a lot of both of those things. Because as you just did, you went back over the history of Trump over a course of, close to 40 years, I think you went through. So well before he was involved in the presidency or politics, he was involved in activities that were deemed very clearly to be deemed racist in nature and violated laws against racism, and then continued that pattern over the course of the next 30 plus years. So he has that behavior trait, and he has continued to live with that behavior trait and never address it, and unabashedly does so. He hides behind the idea that he can't be racist because he has black friends. He hides behind the idea that he can't be racist because he loves Mexicans that work for him. He hides behind the idea that he can't be racist because he talks this way to everybody. And some of his defenders, even Scaramucci, recently said he's not racist because he treats everybody as an object. He doesn't treat anybody as a color or because they're a certain color. He treats them as an object to either make him money, make him famous or not, or to detract from him. And that's the only way he judges things and people. And there's a small amount of truth to that. But the bottom line, the problem with viewing the lens of that as that only is that, no, he assigns value to people and their value based upon their ethnicity, their religion, or their place of origin or their color. And that's clear by what he says and what he does. We don't have to reach for that. He gives it to us. He gives it to us. Now, if people don't want to call that racist, that's their label. Like we've said before, if you see a duck walking down a street and it's quacking and it's waddling, and it gets in the water and swims, and the water goes off of its feathers like a water rolls off of a duck. If you choose not to call it a duck, okay. But you and I know it's a damn duck. You know what I mean? So if he's going to continuously talk and act racist, we know he's a racist, okay? You don't want to call him racist, that's on you. He's a racist, okay? Does he do it because he's emboldened and ignorant? Yes. Does he do it because he wants to further divide our country? Yes, because since he became president, he realizes the power in dividing the country. He realizes the power that comes with keeping a divided electorate. He realizes that that will help him maintain his position of power. He's risking the game. He's playing the game or the risk on saying, this is the only way that I have a chance of staying in power. Because if I have any slip up in this, I'll lose my base. And if I lose my base, then I'm done for. So to answer your question, yes. And I want to throw a couple more topics that you mentioned that you didn't mention that support this. He also said when he was a casino owner that he didn't want black people counting his money. He wants a lot of little Jews with yarmulkes running around counting his money. He doesn't want, because they know how to count money. Black people don't. They don't know how to handle money. That was what he said. So famously, when they would know, the casino workers, the higher ups at the casinos, knew that Trump was going to visit his casino floor, they did everything they could to take the black people out of positions that were handling money and to put them in other places, give them breaks, take them off work for a little while so that Trump didn't see them handling, his, quote unquote, his money. So don't as a people out there, public media or whoever, try to tell me this guy doesn't assign value to people based upon their skin color. He clearly does.
Oh, absolutely. He absolutely does. You look at how he treats people. My God, he wanted to buy Greenland. Okay. So you have 50,000 people who live in Greenland. And the fact that he just wanted to buy Greenland, he didn't give a fuck about the 50,000 people who live there. He just wanted to buy Greenland.
Well, he'll tell you that we're going to give them a much better deal than what they've got now. That's his thing. He's going to give them a better deal. But, you know, look, there was a time and a place in a world where, you know, colonialization was accepted as the norm. And we moved beyond that. Now we live in a world where, you know, what we want to strive for is self-determination. And even the Republican Party would have to agree that what we strive for is self-determination. So what we're saying now is, no, we'll just buy this sovereign land from a different country that doesn't really own it. Doesn't make any sense. Look, if you want to negotiate with Greenland and say you want to become a part of the United States and here's what we can offer you, okay. But he's treating it like, as he said, a real estate deal. And that's what's flying in the face of the idea of self-determination. There's a self-determined government there. They have a right to speak their own truth to power, to elect their own officials, all that kind of stuff. They can't just be sold to another country. They have to be a part of that process.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, I never even heard of anybody wanting to buy a country before. I mean, I understand they're a territory or whatever, but I mean, this clown didn't give a fuck about Puerto Rico.
No.
He didn't give a shit about the people living there. Right? I mean, and they were devastated. And he didn't give a shit. And you know why he's going to care about Greenland, right? It's because of their skin tone. So he might give a fuck about these 50 grand. He didn't give a shit about the 100 and whatever thousand in Puerto Rico, though.
Well, and in Greenland, you've got, look, it's going to be a very, very big coup of natural resources when that ice shelf melts away enough to access it. And that's coming. And he knows, he can deny publicly all he wants that global warming or that climate change is occurring, but he knows it's happening. And that's why he wants to buy Greenland now, because there's going to be there is so much oil under that ice sheet. There's so many natural resources there that he wants America. And look, I want America to have access to them as well. I mean, I want us all as a world to be able to utilize resources that we can responsibly. But that's the other thing. And that's another topic for another day. But the bottom line is, that's what he sees. He sees dollar signs there. He sees that opportunity, and he wants to be the guy that claims that opportunity and can try to profit from it. He'll try to have his buddies profit from it, and he'll also try to take claim for doing this. And I just want to make, you know, one small comment about there were two proposals way back in the 1800s. There was a proposal from the United States to buy Greenland, and again, I'm talking about a time when, you know, things like this were different. Colonization was different. I don't know how many people lived in the in, in, in the landmass that is known as Greenland at that time, if they were just explorers or what. I don't know the history of what Greenland was like in the 1800s. And then again, when Truman took power in the late 40s, after FDR passed away, Harry Truman made an offer to buy Greenland for, I think it was $100 million from Denmark at the time. And again, I don't know if Greenland was, I think at that point in time, mostly a station for aircraft and for research. And the Air Force had a base there during World War II. So I think it was a strategic, more or less, outpost for World War II and for research at the time. But, you know, and it was a different time. It was a different era than we live in now. You know, it's just a different type of situation now. I don't blame him for looking at opportunities, but the way he goes about it, the way he says it, and really, is it, to me, I think it's just a PR thing where he's just trying to deflect away from other controversies that are going on right now. But the world doesn't work that way anymore. Trump, you can't just go buy a country. You just can't do that.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that way back then you had 50,000 people living there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it was a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time. It was a different era. There were probably different reasons for it. War, or at least Cold War reasons. Maybe Denmark's economy wasn't where it should have been, or was. I can almost guarantee it wasn't where it is now. And so maybe, you know, he looked at it like, you know, we can expand a little bit and help them out. You know, it's a win-win for everybody. I don't know. I'm just making shit up, obviously. But the fact is, you were dead on. It's a far different dynamic now than it was, you know, way back then. And I think you touched on something that I don't think anybody else is even talking about. And that is the natural resources that are going to be exposed whenever the ice cap melts even more, and all of these things, the global warming happens, and all of these things are exposed. I'll be honest with you, Frank. I never even considered that part. That was absolutely brilliant.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that the thing that I'm trying to connect the dots with is, you know, you see these things happening regularly. I see, you know, video of the ice sheets receding and melting all the time. And Trump knows that, and his advisors know that. And they know that there's going to be access to natural resources. So it's interesting to me that, and I think there'll be a fallback, Master Patsy. There'll be a fallback position. And what that'll be is, okay, if you don't want to sell us this country, you don't want to sell us this territory, let's work out a deal whereby we can send in our companies to access these natural resources, and we'll lease the land from you, and we'll help cover some of these expenses that come along with maintaining this territory of Greenland so far away from Denmark. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that flies. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens, honestly. I think that something like that could end up happening. But, you know, at this point, to say I'm going to buy Greenland is just like a PR.
Wow. Yeah. I don't. That's a tough one. And for this to come out of the blue, like it apparently did. He's being told something, because God knows he's not reading it. So he's being told something that no one's. Discussing, and no one's letting out of the bag, because I promise you there hasn't been too many people in our lifetimes who have woke up one morning and said, you know what, I think I want to buy Greenland.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It wasn't his original thought. It wasn't something that came from Trump's brilliance. It's somebody that came to him and said, you know, by the way, I know we deny climate change, but the reality is it's happening, sir. And by the way, we could benefit from it in another way. And here it is. So, yeah, and also you could take the attention off of all these scandals, the Jeffrey Epstein scandal that happens to be going on. So, yeah, look, it's something for us to keep our eyes on, and something for us to be very aware of, that it's interesting how that will all play out. And I'd love to do a whole show on climate change and why we're being, why we're being obscured from this, or why there's even a a debate about climate change. So let's do a topic on that someday. But I think it has a lot to do with that and the view of his insiders who know that this is happening and that there's going to be a financial windfall or an opportunity for a financial windfall arising from that, in fact. So I think it'll be a great topic someday, Master Patsy.
You know what? And we could devote so much time to that. To stay on this Greenland thing. After Greenland, the Danish pretty much shot him down about this whole Greenland thing because it is, I believe it's a territory, yes. If I'm not mistaken, yes. of Denmark. The September 2nd visit that he had scheduled to Denmark, he just cut it off.
Get what I want, so I'm not going to come see you.
Yeah, I didn't get my way, so I'm going to take my ball and go home, basically, is what he did. Yeah. Queen, I want to say her name is Marguerite. Does that sound about right?
I think so, yeah.
Queen Marguerite II, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize. First she called the land deal is absolutely absurd. To which he came back and said, I thought the Prime's statement, so I don't know, I guess he hasn't figured out that she's a queen yet, decided to call it a Prime, statement that it was absurd. That it was an absurd idea was nasty. See, here we go back. We're going to circle this all the way back around to this racist / sexist thing that he's doing. When was the last time he called a man nasty?
A white man. Let's say that. The closest you get to that is you get maybe Michael Cohen and Scaramucci. You know, he called Michael Cohen a rat. And he called Scaramucci, he called him some very unflattering names recently, things like, you know, kooky, crazy, unhinged, things like that. But you never hear him say that they're nasty or mean or, you know, the types of characterizations that he reserves for women, for sure.
And then he again turned it to making, you know, he right away went into the, excuse me, right away went into the victim role, where he added, she's not talking to me. This is from BBC, by the way. She's not talking to me. She's talking to the United States of America. You don't talk to the United States that way, at least under me. So here we go, right back to the playing the victim again, right?
Unless, of course, you're Israel and you're talking to two of our congressional leaders who are part of the United States, then you could talk to the United States that way. That's fine.
Yeah, then it's fine. It's perfectly acceptable then.
Yeah.
It's a shame that, you know, we're looking at this in a way, and let's be honest, Frank, essentially this is nothing but a large real estate deal that he was trying to do. And he was trying to do it with what are the letters? OPM, right? Other people's money. He was trying to do this real estate deal with our money.
Right.
He wasn't trying to do it with his because, let's face it, I don't think he has nearly as much as he tells everybody. But
he
even,
may have
even the Dutch conservatives accused Trump of lacking respect for their country. Rasmus Jarlov, who is the conservative MP tweeted, as for as a Dane, which is Danish and a conservative, it is very hard to believe. For no reason, Trump assumes that an autonomous part of our country is for sale. That insultingly canceled. Then insultingly cancels a visit that everybody was preparing for. Are parts of the U.S. for sale? Is Alaska for sale? Please show more respect. Right? Just out of curiosity, just so I'm seeing this right, this was at 3 a.m. today, August 21st at 3 a.m. Rasmus, who, in case you haven't figured it out, is male, no response. Absolutely no response. Frank, I'm starting to think that this isn't a coincidence.
No, I think you're right. I think you've caught on. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's amazing. And I'll go back to something we were talking about earlier, just to kind of put a finer point on both the things you're saying about how Trump treats women versus men, and the idea that somehow, you know, Trump would always dismiss people who are against him as kooky, crazy, or, you know, not informed, or like in the case of Scaramucci, he was only with us for 11 days. They're jealous because they didn't get picked for this job or that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's go back to Rex Tillerson. Has anybody really said anything verifiably bad from the conservative side, the GOP, the political establishment about Rex Tillerson? No. How about General Mattis? How about General Mattis from that side? No. You know, what we've had is the liberal side has been upset with people like the appointing of Rex Tillerson to a position of Secretary of State because he had no, you know, political experience before that. He had no diplomatic experience before that. And he was basically clearly appointed because he was a billionaire that was high up in the Exxon ranks. But the crazy thing is, even though that's what his background was, he even had enough horse sense, common sense, to see that Trump is a jackass. And what did he call him? He called him a fucking idiot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Trump said a little bit, you know, after that all came out, he basically didn't want to believe that Tillerson would have said that about him, but he didn't really fire too many shots at him.
He didn't
you know, call him nicknames or say anything bad about him. And after Tillerson left, there wasn't any shots fired. So again, it wasn't a woman and it wasn't a person of color and it wasn't a person of a different ethnicity. And it wasn't somebody you could dismiss as crazy or kooky, but this person called him a fucking idiot because he was that close to him to see his fucking idiocy in action every day. And then you had General Mattis, who tried to hold shit together for a while there and toe the party line, but then he couldn't take it anymore because he saw how stupid he was with North Korea and how he was interacting with, you know, coming off the cuff with the Russians and not allowing our own intelligence agencies to inform him as to what he should be concerned about, keeping our intelligence agencies out of these meetings. And Mattis said, enough's enough, I'm out of here. And there was never any shots fired by Trump at Mattis. So, you know, it puts a finer point on what you're saying, that he won't attack anybody that's a white man that's got power, so to speak. He goes after people that he thinks he can bully around, which are typically, in his mind, that people that could be bullied are women and people of different ethnicities or races than himself, because he thinks they hold less power than he does. That's an image that he holds and is why he acts psychologically the way he acts. And it's offensive. And that's why he does things like he did, where he thought he could just walk in and make a real estate deal over a territory from another country. And you hear these comments from another country saying, you're being disrespectful to us. You don't know how to conduct yourself. And it's not endearing yourself to anybody in this world.
No, you're right. And to further emphasize your point a little bit, you notice he really doesn't take a whole lot of pot shots on Nancy Pelosi, right?
Right.
He kind of hits her a little bit. But you know what? He knows his match when he sees it. I'll give him that much. You know, most bullies don't. He does. He knows when he can't hold a candle to somebody, or he can't, because what did her daughter say? She'll cut your throat and you won't even know that you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Or something like that, right? Which I thought, yep. Yeah. And what do we go back to with Scaramucci, right? An Italian woman. There you go. Right.
Yeah.
There you go. Frank, this was brilliant today. It was absolutely brilliant. I know we're cutting it a little short, but you know what? I think this is a great place to stop. You were as always, you were absolutely brilliant today. So I can't thank you enough, my friend. Is there anything you want to say before we call it a day?
I just want to encourage people to stay active, stay involved. We're not disloyal to our country or our patriotism by questioning things. We have to question things. Encourage questioning behavior from your children, encourage it from your spouse. If they question, you know, things, it's because they want to know and because we want to learn. Shutting down questions is bad. We need to continue to question authority, to speak truth to power, stay involved. Look, I want everybody to keep an eye out for something that's coming up. This is very important. In September, there's going to be a march in Washington. If you can at all be involved in this, please do so. Please do so, because we need as many people and voices to be heard in this country to stop what's going on, which is the really the destruction of our country. And we need to stop it. We as the people need to stop it. So I think it's going to be September 15th or 20th. Please double check the dates. Look for this. Don't get misled or don't get put astray by this Area 51 crashing that's going on, where everybody's talking about we're going to go crash Area 51. I think that's another misdirection campaign. Obviously, you know, it's fun to talk about aliens in Area 51, and maybe there's a day and time for that, but our country's at stake right now. Don't get swept up in the hype over that. Look at what's important right in front of us right now. So I'm going to get off my soapbox about that, and I'll just end with saying, we're not disloyal to the King of Israel, quote unquote, according to Trump. if we question, you know, things and ask why, what's going on right now is going on. So thank you for your time, everybody. And thank you, Master Patsy, for continuing to put together this great platform for us. Thank you.
Yes, Aldo. Thank you, Frank. And just as a quick public service, this march that you're talking about, I know for an absolute fact that there are buses that you can get onto that'll go down for you. I know there's one in that's leaving Youngstown for it. It's $70 a person round trip on the bus. That's dirt cheap in order to go to make the march. So if you can go, please go. To be honest, we're trying to work out a way so we can get down there and march. It would be great for the pod if we can. If not, well, you know what? At least we have something to talk about. So, everybody, folks, like I always say every week, your time is very valuable. And the fact that you're willing to spend some of that time with us means a great deal to us. It truly does. So, on behalf of Frank and myself, we will talk to you again next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. If you don't understand that, you're far too young to be listening to this podcast. Okay. Thank you. Frank, as always, thank you very much, my brother. We'll talk to everybody soon. Goodbye. Take care and God bless. Thank you very much, my brother. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Butchered Sports, raw and unfiltered, the way you wish your local sports anchor would bring it to you. Find us on Twitter at Butchered Sports and on YouTube at Butchered Sports. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to Holy Sh** with Frank and Master Patsy. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to support us on Patreon. Join us again next week when we discuss the next thing that made us say, Holy Sh**.